Once again, we'd like to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. Isaiah, chapter 35. This morning we read all 10 verses, kind of gave a summary of the chapter. Tonight we want to read verses 8 through verse 10. Isaiah 35. Verses 8 through 10. And a highway shall be there, and a way that shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Again, Isaiah lived and served the Lord in a very difficult time, a very sinful time. God had called him to preach to the southern kingdom of Judah. And according to Isaiah 5 and verse 7, the northern kingdom of Israel was the vineyard of the Lord, and the southern kingdom of Judah was a pleasant plant. But that was no longer the case. The northern kingdom had gone into Assyrian captivity by the time we get to Isaiah chapter 35. And Isaiah is telling the southern kingdom that they would be going into Babylonian captivity. So they were no longer a pleasant plant due to their irreverence and indifference toward God and their rebellion against God. We see that they became a wilderness. They became a solitary place, a desert. They became parched land, parched ground. Became a thirsty land, habitation of dragons. Quite a change from Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 7. So Isaiah was called to preach to the southern kingdom of Judah that because of their wickedness, they would soon be conquered by the nation of Babylon, and that they would become captives of Babylon. So it was a very fearful time, a very traumatic time for the kingdom of Judah, no doubt a time of great anxiety, time of fear, and no doubt to some degree a time of hopelessness. And as we said this morning, Isaiah not only preached of the coming judgment of God upon them, but he also preached that God, in God's time, would rescue them from Babylonian captivity. Now, the nature of the book of Isaiah, of course, though it's prophetic to Babylon, it goes much, much further than that, of course, and speaks of the salvation of souls, speaks of the coming of Christ. And as we saw this morning, Isaiah chapter 35 has its literal fulfillment in the during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. That's where it's literally fulfilled. But there are many types here in this 35th chapter. We want to take the main thought of the message tonight from verse 8, a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Again, this has its literal fulfillment during the millennial reign of Christ. But with that being said, that does present a picture of spiritual truth that applies to you and I, all the saved, today. It is figurative, of a spiritual reality in our lives even today. So we want to speak this evening on the highway of holiness. The highway of holiness. I believe that such does exist today, and I believe it's where God's people ought to walk. We know that the saved travel through this world, and as we travel through this world, we are headed to our heavenly home. In other words, life is a journey, and it's presented that way many places in the Word of God. It's simply a traveling from one place to another. That's true whether you're saved or unsaved. If you're saved, you're traveling through this world to heaven. If you're unsaved, you're traveling through this world to hell. But either way, life is a journey. It's traveling from one place to another. And the span of our days, however many days that God has chosen to grant us, that will make up the number of our traveling days. Now, the saved are specifically referred to in Hebrews chapter 11, 1 Peter chapter 2, as pilgrims. We are pilgrims. The place of our journey is the world. The Word of God, of course, has nothing good to say about the world as far as it being a system. The world is a system under the dominion of Satan. The world is the embodiment of Satan. By that we simply mean that it bears the very image of Satan. In fact, Jesus spoke of the world as synonymous with the kingdom of Satan, the domain, the rule of Satan. It is a sphere of, as the kingdom of Satan, it is the sphere of rebellion against God. And as you read through the Gospels, you see that Christ said that the world knows not Christ, the world hates Christ, the world is filled with offenses, that which is offensive to the Lord, the world is filled with wickedness, the world is filled with spiritual pollution. It is possessed, according to 1 John, it is possessed with the spirit of Antichrist. We read in 1 John 5 and verse 19 that the whole world lieth in wickedness. In other words, it is a system of evil that is satanically informed and satanically ruled. We read in Ephesians 2 and verse 2 of the course of the world. In other words, the world has a particular direction in which it goes, and it's satanic. The world has a particular direction which it flows, which it moves. There's a certain passage that the world follows. There's a certain procedure. There's a certain technique. The course of the world. This course, of course, is the pathway of the unsaved man. It is the pathway of those who are without God. It is the way that those who are without Christ travel. It is the pathway of those that are estranged from God and who are in and who have their understanding darkened and who are spiritually dead. They are the ones who follow the course of this world. In fact, they not only follow the course of the world, they are bound to the course of the world. The world has a system. The sum is the sum total of the thinking, the ideas, the philosophies, the values, the attitudes, the ambitions, the goals, the pursuits, the behavior of those who are alienated from God. That is the character of the world. The world is moved by the things that are we read in 1 John, the things that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's what motivates the world. And in Isaiah chapter 35, we read that this world through which we travel can be a wilderness, can be a solitary place, can be a desert, can be parched land, can be thirsty land, can be the habitation of dragons. With all of that being said, we say that the world is a place where we have many cares, where we have many burdens, where we experience many difficulties, many problems. It's a place that abounds with sorrows and all kinds of trials and all kinds of pressures, even pressures from the world, all kinds of disappointments, chaos. The course of the world is one of chaos. The course of the world is one of turmoil, one of many, many, many struggles and obstacles, and the course of the world has many, many dead ends and many traps. And of course, it's filled with uncertainty. But in spite of all of that, for you and I that are saved, there is a highway. And it says there in Isaiah 35 and 8, "And highway shall be there." Where? Well, I believe that goes back to the wilderness, the solitary place, the desert, the parched ground, the thirsty land, the habitation of dragons. "A highway shall be there, and a way," and a way. This is a God-provided way, and it is called the way of holiness. The way of holiness. So we want to consider this way. We want to notice several things about this way that is called the way of holiness. First of all, notice it is a way and it is singular. It is a way and it is singular. A way is that which connects distance, that which makes movement in some specific direction possible. If there's no way to that door, you cannot get to that door. There has to be a way. So it makes movement possible in some specific direction. A way leads from one place to another place. A way must have a location. It's got to be located somewhere. You can't have a way without having a location. So a way immediately implies that there is a location. It's got to be located somewhere. It must be somewhere. Notice it says, "And highway shall be there." That's its location. We've already seen that's the wilderness, the solitary place, etc. Also notice that this way is spoken of as singular and it is particular. It says a way. That's singular. A way. It also says the way. That's particular. So this way that shall be called a way of holiness, it is singular. There's not many ways, there's one. There are not many highways of holiness, there's one. And it is very, very particular. And I believe it is a way that is open at all times. There is not a time for the child of God that this way is closed. It is a highway. It is a way. It is the way. Notice also, it is a way for a certain and particular people. Not just anyone can travel on this road. It's for particular people. Notice from the negative aspect there in verse 8, the unclean shall not pass over it. The unclean shall not pass over it. You will not find the unclean on this highway. So we must ask ourselves, who are the unclean? Well, the Bible teaches that we are all unclean by nature. So we will say that this road is not traveled by the natural man. It is not traveled by the unsaved man. That's from the negative aspect. From the positive aspect, we see on this road, we find wayfaring men. Travelers that are here, but for a very limited time. These travelers are specifically identified in verses 9 and verse 10. The latter part of verse 9, but the redeemed shall walk there. That's who these wayfaring men are. They are the redeemed. In verse 10, it says, the ransomed of the Lord. So it is those who travel this road are the redeemed and the ransomed of the Lord. And those, of course, are one and the same. It's just considering different aspects. But consider those in reverse order. The way it reads here is we have the redeemed, we have the ransomed. So let's turn it around, consider the ransomed first. A ransom is a price paid for the release of someone from captivity. So the ones who travel this road, a price has been paid for their release from captivity. That price, of course, is Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. To redeem means to actually save. To ransom is to pay the price of the redemption. But to redeem is to actually save. It is the actual act of rescue or converting or reclaiming. So from this we see that this way is for the saved. The natural man, the unclean man, will not walk on this road. This is a road for the saved by grace. It is in this world and it is reserved for the redeemed and the ransomed of the Lord. That makes it a very special way. Because it is for a particular people. The ransomed and the redeemed. Thirdly, we have an overall description of this way. You'll notice it is a highway. It is a highway. You think of a highway. A highway is built by plan. You wouldn't always know that if you drive the highway, but it's someone planned that road. It is built, it is designed by plan. Also, it requires some cost. If there is a highway, money was spent to build that highway. And that highway was built by a plan. And it was built for a specific purpose. And highway shall be there. Now, a highway in the Old Testament would refer to a royal road. would be a road again built by plan for the purpose of the king. For the purpose of the king. Again, it is a highway. And in ancient times, powerful kings would build these roadways or these highways through their kingdoms. And they would build them above the surrounding land. And these roads were meant to prevent the king's progress from being deterred by flocks of sheep or animals or other hindrances, but these roads were to prevent the king from being deterred. Now, this particular highway is provided by God for the saved. And it is a highway. That is, it's above. It is above the wilderness. This is a road that runs above the wilderness. It doesn't just run through the wilderness, it runs above the wilderness. It is a highway that runs above the solitary place, runs above the desert, runs above the parched ground, runs above the thirsty land, runs above the habitation of dragons. This means that there is a way to live above these things. And the way to live above those things is this highway. This way that shall be called the way of holiness. It is a way that is above the thinking, the reasoning, the ways, the doctrines, the philosophies, the speech, the methods, the aspirations, the idols, and the pursuits of the world, of society, and culture. There is a road for the child of God wherein the child of God can travel above all of these things. Amen. And not even be touched by these things. There is a highway. He says it's called the way of holiness. And it runs above the enslaving, binding, crippling, stripling, controlling power of sin. It's above those things. There is a highway called the way of holiness. And that highway runs above all the foolishness of the world. It runs above the destruction and the ruin and the loss that is everywhere in this world. And again, who is this road for? It's for you and I, the saved. We need to travel this road. We need to live on this road. We see also its name. It has a name. Every highway has a name, has a number. There's some way to identify the highway. We see here it shall be called the way of holiness. This highway is called holiness. It's called the way of holiness. In other words, it is the course of holiness. So we've got to ask ourselves, what is holiness? What is holiness? Well, holiness, of course, is first and foremost the impression and workmanship of God in a person. A person will never be holy who does not have the work of God within them. It's not going to happen. They might do the right thing occasionally, but it doesn't make them holy. A lot of people in the Bible did the right thing, but it would be quite a stretch to call them holy. It is on this way of holiness that the state of heart is in devotion to God. That's what holiness is. It's a heart in devotion to God. It is on this way of holiness that one is separated or consecrated to God. Separated and consecrated to God's glory and for His service. It's on this way of holiness that sin is considered to be horrifying. The holy are horrified by sin. The holy are repulsed by sin. They find sin to be detestable. They find it to be despicable and dreadful and degrading. That's just a characteristic of the holy. So this way of holiness finds sin to be horrifying. This way of holiness is personal conviction and persuasion concerning the person of the Lord. It is on this way of holiness that one has confidence in God, that one has unreserved trust in God, one has absolute dependence and reliance upon Him. It is on this way of holiness that the individual lays hold upon God, looks to God, receives from God, and lives their lives in the reality of who God is. That's the way of holiness. It is in this way of holiness that is the life of Christ. Holiness is simply to live like Christ. And that's what this way of holiness is. It's Christ-likeness. So it is a road of obedience. It is a road of the heart being consecrated to God, and it is a road of obedience. And we can give thanks to God that He has in this wicked world provided this way of holiness for His people. We see also concerning this highway, it is the right direction. Every road must go in a direction. We see that, with West Virginia being the exception, this highway is called the way of holiness. It runs contrary to the course of this world, always. It always runs contrary to the course of the world. And most of the time, it runs contrary to the course of religion. Now in verse 10, we see that it moves in the direction of Zion. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. That is on this highway of holiness. So it's a one-way street. You don't have people going in opposite directions here. It is a one-way street moving in one direction, Zion, which of course is synonymous with the city of God or synonymous with Jerusalem. So this highway called the way of holiness is a one-way street going in the direction of God. Zion, of course, is a type of heaven. There is a God in heaven. And the God in heaven knows you and I. He knows our circumstances. He knows our every care. He knows our every burden. He knows every difficulty we have. He knows every problem that we have, every trial, every temptation. He knows every battle we have. He knows every struggle that we have. He knows every obstacle that we're going to face. He knows our every doubt. He knows our every murmuring. He knows our every sin. He knows our every emotion. He knows our present condition. He knows our present need. And in the midst of all of this, He has built a highway. The way, a way called the way of holiness. And it's for you and I, the saved. It only runs in one direction. All of God's people ought to be going in the same direction. And that direction is a movement toward God. This highway of holiness will never, ever take you away from God. It will always lead you closer and closer to God. So if you're not getting closer to God, you're on the wrong highway. You're on the wrong road. Now, if you're paying attention, you get on the wrong road. You don't have to drive that road very long before you realize, you know what, I think I'm going the wrong way. And it doesn't take very long to realize when you're not on this road. Because you find yourself drifting from God. Now, you can blame that on whatever you want to blame it on, but the truth is, you're not on the right road. Because this highway leads to God. And may I say, it's a safe way. There are no accidents on this highway. And can't be said of any highway in the United States or any highway in the world. There are no accidents on this highway. It is a safe way. You cannot err traveling this highway. Notice verse 8. And the highway shall be there, and the way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for the wayfaring men. And then notice what it says. Though fools shall not err therein. Though fools shall not err therein. Even those, again, the only ones who travel this road are the redeemed, the ransomed of the Lord. And even those that are not very well versed in spiritual matters, they're safe on this road. They will not err traveling this road. You and I do not err traveling the way of holiness. We err when we get off the way of holiness. We do not fall into the ditch on the way of holiness. This is a smooth road. We fall into the ditch when we get off the way of holiness. So we see, you do not err on this road. In other words, you can't go wrong on this road. You can't go wrong on this highway. It's a very safe road. You will not lose your way traveling the highway of holiness, because it is a road that is above the desert, the swirling and the trackless sand. It's above all of that. This is a road that is very plainly marked. You can't go the wrong way, and you can't lose your way on this road. If you're going to lose your way, you've got to get off of this road and get on another road, because you can't get lost on this road. So if we've lost our way, it's because we've gotten off the way of holiness. That's why no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, you and I are to travel this road. That is, you and I are simply to do what God would have us to do. And you can't go wrong doing that. Well, what if they do this? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We are simply to stay on this road. You will not get lost. You will not fall in the ditch. It is a safe road. And I'll tell you something else. On this highway, there are no dead ends. It leads to Zion. There are no dead ends. There are no detours. It continually moves in the direction of God. Now, some days you may travel that road at a faster pace than other days. But our pace isn't as important as the direction that we're going in. You can be driving fast down the highway, but if you're going the wrong direction, guess what? It doesn't matter how fast. Well, you're just going to get there quicker. It doesn't really matter. It's not the pace that's important. It's direction. And on this road, we're not going in the wrong direction. It continually moves in the direction of God. You will not be harmed walking this highway called the way of holiness. You will not lose walking this highway. A lot of people, a lot of God's people are scared of holiness. They're afraid that they're going to be harmed some way by holiness. Holiness never hurt anyone. And no one is harmed walking the highway of holiness. You're harmed when you get off the highway of holiness. We do not lose walking the highway of holiness. Again, it is a safe road. It is a safe road because it is a plainly marked road. It is marked, of course, by the Word of God. That's the signs along the road. It just simply, thus saith the Lord. And you just keep following that. You just keep going down that road. Best way to travel. Best way to live. It's a way of experiencing God. Walking this highway called the way of holiness, you will experience God's strength. You will experience God's love. You will experience God's kindness, His presence, His embrace, His peace. All along the way, you experience these things. Now, it is true, we can get off this road and we can wander in the trackless desert, and because God is merciful and because God is gracious, God may come down there and embrace us. But that's what it's always like in the highway of holiness. It's just a constant and continual experience of God. It's a joyful way. Verse 10, we read of songs, joy, and gladness. Walking this road, there's an inward happiness that the world knows nothing about. There's an inward pleasure. There's a satisfaction and delight that comes directly from God. The highway of holiness is a way of songs. You know what? Everybody on this road, it's the redeemed, the ransom of the Lord. Everyone on this road is singing. No one on this road is murmuring. Now, if you're going to murmur, you've got to get on another road. No one murmurs on this road. Everybody has a song in their heart. Everybody has joy and gladness in their heart. It's a road of wonderful fellowship with the saints of God. Not just the saints of God, but it's a road, it's fellowship with those who are right. Those who are going in the right direction. There's one of the saddest things is you see, you watch a child of God get off this road, get on a winding road of sin, and someone else follows them. That's sad. It's sad. And they fellowship together in their misery. Before long, they're the only ones that are right and everybody else is wrong. But on the highway of holiness, there's wonderful fellowship with those who are right with God, which strengthens us, of course. We also see it's a victorious way. In verse 10, again, this has its perfect fulfillment, of course, in the millennium. Last part of verse 10, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The application there is that walking this road, there's victory. There's victory. We know that in this life we're going to have sorrow, we're going to have sighing. We realize that. But it's walking this world, this highway that we have victory over sorrow. We're going to experience sorrow, but sorrow does not have to define our lives. We're going to experience sign, but that's not what is to define our lives. What is to define our lives is this holiness. The way of holiness is a way of just marching through life victoriously. Just enjoying the victory that we have in Christ. So it is an abundant life. All these things that we read this morning, that the wilderness and the solitary place in the desert shall be glad, rejoice, and blossom abundantly. All of these things speak of how we flourish on the highway of holiness. How we advance in holiness. It's basically a taste of heaven upon earth, traveling the highway of holiness. So no matter what our place in life, no matter what our situation, no matter what our circumstance, read these words in the context of that, and highway shall be there. Whatever our circumstances are, a highway shall be there. And a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness. I believe that's true. No matter what circumstances, no matter what my situation is, there's this highway of holiness there. So I need to look for it. I need to identify it. And I need to get on it. And once you're on that highway of holiness, don't get off. Don't get off. This is the happiest life that you can live. Look for that highway. Walk in it. Stay in it. For there is no better way to live life than to walk the highway of holiness, which is simply doing God's will, doing what God says. And thanks be to the Lord, He has provided this highway for you and I that are saved. It was built by cost that only He could pay for. And it was built by plan. And it was built for a purpose to keep you and I moving in the direction of Zion or in the direction of God. Now we realize tonight that all of us, we can be traveling along and we can get turned around. We can get off this road. We realize that. But the very moment, the very moment that you and I realize I've gotten off on the wrong road, that very moment, don't waste any time, get back on the highway of holiness. A lot of people have gotten off this road, and they know they've gotten off. Because I don't believe it takes long for a child of God to know. Because the contrast is so stark between the highway of holiness and any other road, you know when you get off. So I don't think it's going to take very long for a child of God to realize, you know what, I've gotten off the highway of holiness. But here's what happens so many times. So now they know they're on the wrong road, but it's someone else's fault. And they just keep traveling down this wrong road. Or it's because of this circumstance. It's because of this situation. And they blame it on everything and they just keep traveling further and further and further down that wrong road. That wrong road brings many, many problems into their lives. And now they get mad, even more mad at the individuals whose fault it is that they're on that road in their mind. And they just continue further and further and further. And then what else they do is they begin to fellowship with others that are traveling that road. And they just get further and further and further. The very moment we get off the highway of holiness, get back on. Get back on. You repent. And you get back on that road. Don't waste time traveling down wrong roads. They're going to reach dead ends. How many times people say, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. They've hit a dead end. There are no dead ends. You just keep moving in the direction. Every now and then, there might be a stop sign. We might have to stop for a while, but you still stay on the road. You still stay on the road. You don't get off. You don't get off. There might be more and more people getting on the road, though that's not true nowadays. It's getting less and less. If you're worried about traffic, there's not much on this road. There's not much traffic on this highway. Many times it'll feel like you're traveling this road all alone. There's not a lot of traffic. It's the narrow way. But oh, how thankful we ought to be that there is a highway of holiness. And then again, this is literally fulfilled in the millennium. Can you imagine the literal fulfillment of Isaiah 35? What a beautiful, beautiful picture. But again, to some degree, not perfectly, we can enjoy these things today. They're meant to teach us spiritual truths. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.